Please join me in our call to worship. Night gives birth to dawn. Come, let us worship our Creator. The two-legged and four-legged yawn and stretch. Come, let us honor our Maker. Please join me in our opening prayer. Holy Father, we praise your name for the opportunity and blessing to worship you freely. We praise you for your never-ending love and for your Son, Jesus Christ, who was crucified that we may come to him and have everlasting life. We pray that your world, that you would comfort the sick, those injured by terrorists, and bring peace to our world, our leaders, and their efforts to reduce the violence in our world. Thank you for the many blessings you pour out on us. Guide and mold our hearts, check our tongues, let us be your hands and feet. We praise your holy name, Father. Amen.
They tried my Lord and Master
with no one to defend
within the halls of Zion.
He stood without a friend.
I'll be a friend. Jesus, until my years shall end. The world may turn against him. I'll love him to the end. And while on earth I'm living, my Lord shall have a friend. I'll be a friend to Jesus. My life for him I'll spend. I'll be a friend to Jesus. Until my years shall end. I'll do what he may bid me. I'll go where he may send. I'll try each flying moment to prove that I'm his friend. I'll be a friend to Jesus. My life for him I'll spend. I'll be a friend to Jesus. Until my years shall end. To all who need a Savior, my friend I recommend. Because he brought salvation. Is why I am his friend. I'll be a friend to Jesus. My life for him I'll spend. I'll be a friend to Jesus. Until my years shall end. I'll be a friend to Jesus. My life for him I'll spend. I'll be a friend to Jesus. Until my years shall end.
Oh, God, Word, thank you so much. Because we count ourselves blessed, because we count our blessings and we know that we're blessed, we also count it a privilege to return to God a portion of what has been trusted to us. Will the ushers come forward to receive our tithes and offerings, please? God of wind, word, and fire, we bless your name this day for sending the light and strength of your Holy Spirit. We give you thanks for all the gifts, great and small, that you have poured out upon your children. Accept us with our gifts to be living praise and witness to your love throughout all the earth. Through Jesus Christ, who lives with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen. We have many prayer requests before us on our prayer list. Let us join hearts and spirits as we pray. Oh God, you sent the Holy Spirit to enkindle the zeal of Christ's followers waiting in Jerusalem for his promised gift. Pour the same inspiration on your people assembled here and on your church throughout the world. Revive the power of the gospel in our hearts, that it may be to us a sacred trust for the blessing of all creation. Enable your church to spread the good news of salvation so that all nations may hear it in their own tongues and welcome it into their own lives, so that Jesus, being lifted up, may draw all people to him, and the kingdoms of the world may become the kingdom of our Lord and of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Steve Santmeier, when I saw you sitting in my seat, I thought maybe you were going to preach. Oh, that's right. You are. Come on up, Steve. I'll start if you don't mind. Anybody here ever been in a storm? Yep. Anybody noticed the thunderstorms this week? I love going out on my porch and sitting in a thunderstorm and just watching the lightning and the storm and listening to the rain. I find it really relaxing. But once upon a time, I think it was about 11 years ago, I was in a boat on the Sea of Galilee when a storm came up. And we weren't expecting a storm. The skies were blue and there were wispy clouds. And then suddenly this great storm came up. And so it often happens on the Sea of Galilee. And so it is with the storms in our lives. You know, most of the time, we're not expecting them at all. And Steve was in that place a few years ago when GM closed down, right? You're going to need to use this microphone. And if you don't mind, I might ask you a few questions. Okay. I did ask Steve to give a testimony today that he had shared with the trustees when he first took over that job for us as chair of the trustees a year and a half ago, huh?
Yes. Well, first of all, before I say my testimony, talking about little storms that happen in our lives, our grandson had a cyst on the back of his neck. but that he was operated on, and it come out that it's benign. So we appreciate your prayers for that.
And that was just last week.
Yes, that was just last week. So he was down at James Cancer because they wanted to make sure, you know, when they sent it away that it was non-cancerous. And my son having cancer, they wanted to make sure it wasn't linked to that. So, but he's doing good. He doesn't even know he had surgery. So, praise God on that. my testimony. We go through life sometimes, we take life for granted, and it's just human nature. And my sister-in-law and me, we had this little discussion yesterday, about how things happen in our lives. And a lot of times we don't realize it, but it makes us stronger. It helps us it prepares us for what's might happen down the road. Employed at General Motors 25 years, and they called us into the office one morning and they said they are closing this plant, and we want you to know before you hear the announcement from Kathy Clegg, which is higher up in management for the General Motors, and they announced it on the plant floor then 1 hour later. I prayed about it. I told my wife, I said, if I have to go to Texas or wherever they send me, I was told that they're going to give us one option, and if we decline it, it's considered an automatic quit. So for salary employees. So time went on. We were closing the plant. We were liquidating all the machinery and the coils of steel, and it was getting down to the nitty-gritty, and there was only a handful of us left. And I was blessed. I got Toledo, Ohio. I was able to make it home on the weekends. But then I don't know if you've ever been up to Toledo, Ohio, but there's some places that's not real nice. And when you're trying to make ends meet, you do not stay in the nicest place. You try to budget your money, and I was basically staying in a one-bedroom apartment right next to the projects, and you keep your doors locked, and you keep your car doors locked. You don't leave spare change in your car because it'll get broken into for drug money or whatever. So I just prayed I did a lot of praying, and I'm sorry, but because I'm speaking from the heart. But anyway, I talk a lot to God. My wife thinks I'm nuts sometimes when she sees me out in the woods, and she goes, "Who's you talking to?" And I said, "Well, a lot of times I talk out loud. I just speak to God, if something's on my mind." And I said, "I'm not losing my mind yet, I don't think." But so anyway, when you drive up to Toledo, it's a 2-hour drive. I don't care how you look at it. And I'm crossing at the Maumee River there in the middle of the winter, and you see the snow blowing across the ice, and it's just a depressing time. And I would pray to God that I made this. I asked God, I said, "God," I think it was a year or two I maybe was up there, and I said, if you get me through this, I'll serve you in some way, shape, or form. I said, I don't know how, but I said, I will make that commitment. So I got through it. I don't know how. I mean, it was cutthroat. With all the plants closing, I was an outsider. People did not like me. They were scared of their own job, and not just myself, but other people that came from the outside into another plant, whether it was Parma or wherever, you was not treated very nice. They were in fear of their own job and security. So, like I said, I got through it, and I kept that promise with God, and I had a phone call from Bruce Boyce. And Bruce says, "Steve, would you be interested in being on the trustees?" And what am I going to say? No? Okay, sorry, God, I'm going to renege on this one. So I accepted it, and then I got a call about a week later, and it was Pastor Pegg, and says, "Steve, I got a question for you. Would you like to be chairperson on the trustees?" And I thought, boy, God's really putting me to the test. And I said yes. I mean, what could I say? I made a promise to God, and I thought, well, this is God's way of, he needed me to be chairperson. So, and I be honest with you, I enjoy it. I'm serving God. I love this church. I love the community, and it's, I try to do the right things, and I just want to say one more thing, and I guess it's I'm sort of stealing it from John F. Kennedy. It's, I always hear, and I sort of hear it a little bit through my kids, it's like, well, or through other people, well, the church, it just doesn't, they just don't have what enough to offer to me. And I'm thinking, don't ask what the church can do for you, but what you can do for the church. You're serving God. And I just hear that from so many people. It's just like, there's nothing there for me, or I need something else. And I don't know what you're searching for, but if you give, you shall receive. And I really believe that. So.
Steve, I got to talk about the other end of that conversation. I dread those phone calls. And so I called you to ask on behalf of the nominating committee if you would serve as chairperson. And I barely got the words out of my mouth when Steve said, "Yeah, I can do that." Usually people say, "Could I pray about that? Will you give me some time to think about it?" But Steve said right away, "Yeah, I can do that." Now, I didn't know why you gave that immediate response until you chaired your first meeting and shared your story. Well, I'm really glad you came safely out of that storm, and I'm really glad you said yes to God. And you can sit in my chair anytime.
I'll think twice before I do that.
You never know, Steve. God might call you to preach. Sometimes a storm is fun if you're safely in the house and watching it from the porch. If you're in a high-risk neighborhood in Toledo or on a boat on the Sea of Galilee, it can be another story. Here is today's scripture. It's from the book of Luke, the 8th chapter, verses 22 through 25. And in many Bibles, this is titled, "Jesus Calms the Storm." One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke Jesus, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Where is your faith? Where is your faith, Steve? Your faith is in the living God who can calm waters. It's often in the storms of life, as Steve said, that we learn more about ourselves, about God, about how the world works, than at any other time in our lives. And this miracle shows us that Jesus is Lord above all, that he even has control over the storms, the physical storms of life and the metaphorical ones. And then at the end of this short story, the disciples ask a question with awe. Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him? And as we've seen over and over again with the disciples, they just don't seem to know who Jesus is or what he can do. And in the book of Luke, who then is this is a question that Luke wants us to think about. But since we're studying this year the questions that Jesus asked, the great questioner asked, not the questions that were asked of him, then we're going to concentrate on Jesus' question, which was, where is your faith? We know it's an important question because Jesus took them into the storm. Did you notice that? At the very beginning of the passage, Jesus said to them, "Let's go across the lake." He took them into the storm. He knew where they were going. He knew what would happen. We believe that God is omniscient. God knows everything. God knew a storm was coming, even if everything was peaceful and placid and there was a brilliant blue sky with fluffy white clouds. Jesus knew what was going to happen. And although the disciples were fishermen, remember? They'd been out on the lake in all waters, in all sizes of boats. But they apparently didn't anticipate the storm. The Sea of Galilee, the reason these storms come up so quickly is that the Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long and 7 miles wide. It sits in a depression that's almost 700 feet below sea level. It is surrounded by mountains that rise up to 2,000 feet above sea level on the eastern side. And when winds funnel down those hills, it can create sudden, violent storms. It was one of those unexpected storms that hit that evening. Unexpected to the disciples, not to Jesus. Steve, probably your storm was not unexpected to God. He knew what was coming. And this must have been quite a storm because these experienced fishermen were afraid. And even so, Jesus led them directly into it. Now, I don't believe that God creates the storms in our lives. A lot of people will say, well, God created that storm to test you. I don't believe that. I believe that God is there in the storm with us to get us through when we acknowledge God's presence. But I don't believe God creates them. God knows about it. God wants us to be prepared for the storms. But let's take a look at some of the important things about this particular storm that also implies some life lessons for us. Storms hit suddenly and without warning, don't they? I used to work in Columbus, and I would listen to the traffic report as I drove into the city from Delaware. And, you know, once in a while they would report a traffic fatality that had caused traffic jams. And I would think, the person in that car who died got up this morning, had coffee, kissed a spouse goodbye, patted the heads of children, and didn't expect this to happen. Life can change in the blink of an eye. A storm in life can come up at any time. Sometimes, we find out what's really in us, what kind of inner strength we have, what kind of faith we have in the presence of those storms. But the time to develop those resources is not after the storm hits, but before. Steve had the habit of praying to God long before GM closed. He was accustomed to doing that. He had bedrock faith. Here's another point. Storms hit believers. There are people who say, if you were a better Christian, those things wouldn't happen to you. Balderdash. This storm hit those with Christ in the boat with him who were his followers. Bad things happen to good people. Now, if this were fiction, if this were a fairy tale, it might have said that a lot of boats set out and the others got swamped, but the one with Jesus in it was preserved and just rode on top of the waves. It's not a fairy tale. It doesn't say that. It says this boat was being swamped, and Jesus' followers were afraid. Just because you're in Jesus' boat doesn't mean that it's going to be smooth sailing. Christians are not exempt from trials. Some people think that because they're serving God, it exempts them from storms. If that were true, there would be no divorced ministers, right? Storms hit obedient believers who are serving Christ. It happens. In fact, this storm didn't hit disciples because they'd been disobedient. It hit them because they followed Jesus. They did what he told them to. He said, let's cross the lake. They were obedient, and they did what he told them to, and the storm came up anyway. Storms come into the lives of obedient followers of Jesus. Sometimes obediently serving Christ can actually put you in the way of a storm. It often has to missionaries, evangelists, and others. So, Jesus led them into the storm, and then what did he do? He fell asleep. He lay down in the boat and fell asleep. But this is the only incident in the Bible that I know of where Jesus slept. There are other times when his disciples fall asleep. He's asked them to stay awake, and they fall asleep. But this is the only time I know of where he fell asleep. Now, what they would have wanted would be for Jesus to take charge and say, man, a storm's coming. Peter, you stay on the helm. John, make sure that sail is secure. James, get the gear tied down. If Jesus had really been actively involved, giving them orders, telling them, hang in there, guys, we're going to make it, the storm would have been difficult but bearable. They would have known that he was in charge. Sometimes when we're in the middle of a storm, we want a sign that God is in charge. And sometimes we don't get it. Just when they needed Jesus' calm leadership, what was he doing? Sleeping. And boy, did they complain about it. But I think this happened not only for their benefit, but for ours. Have you ever been in the midst of a storm of life and felt that God wasn't listening? That you didn't know whether God was with you in it or not? When you wondered whether God was sleeping, not paying attention, not taking your text messages, or your emails, or your prayers. In reality, Jesus was with them in the storm, even though he was sleeping. And he's always there, even when we don't notice. He was in the boat. He has promised us in Hebrews 13:5, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Paul writes in Romans, no trial can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Whenever you're in a storm, even though you may think that Jesus is not there with you, he is. But the fact is, often the storms of life expose how little faith we have. And so it was with the disciples. There isn't one of us who can't fake faith when we're on calm waters, when everything's going well. We can impress others with how well put together we are, how well we handle life. Now, these disciples, they had been in many storms, but this one was different. It was life-threatening. But maybe at first they thought, no problem, we can handle it. We've done this before. Sometimes we too are a bit too self-reliant when a storm first comes up, and we think we can take care of it ourselves. Storms often show us things that we don't see in calmer times. The disciples, after begging Jesus to do something, were surprised when he did. Isn't that remarkable? They said to him, do something, and he did. And then they said, who is this? Who can even calm storms? They didn't know who he was, but he knew exactly who they were. They were faithless. They doubted. They feared. And he asked them, where's your faith? As we have discovered week after week, Jesus never asked a question because he wanted information. He asked questions to which he already knew the answer and which he wanted the disciples and therefore us to focus on. Think about, where is your faith? Well, here's the thing. They did have just enough faith to call on Jesus. Not enough to really trust that he would be able to do anything, but just enough. Faith in the Lord is not an automatic thing. It's something that we have to choose to exercise. And it's something we have to choose to exercise in the calmness of life, not just in the storms. We have to practice our faith regularly. Practice the presence of God regularly in order to be prepared for the storms. And so it works. I've heard Bible teachers say, with Christ in the boat, you can smile at a storm, and there is a sense in which that's true. But it would be less than true if I implied that Jesus is going to calm the waters in every storm in life. Because often things get worse before they get better. The plant closes and you have to move to Toledo, Ohio. And you're in just as much danger for what seems like an eternity. And that's the time to practice more faith, more prayer, more trust that no matter what happens, God is in charge and all will be well with your soul. Now, here's a postscript to Steve's story. You may not want to make too many promises to God, because I still have a phone. Thanks be to God. Let's move into an attitude of honoring God as we approach communion.